It's been a jam-packed, conversation-riddled night in this really interesting part of the pub. We are underground, which is probably a good thing, because all the Uber geeks in the room couldn't look at their devices, their phones, their iPads, and their open source netbooks, and they had to look at people in the face and talk and have conversations. I'm standing next to a guy with Data Nerd on his t-shirt. What's your name?
It's Andrew Waters.
And you, sir, looking ever so slightly artistic because you're not wearing a t-shirt. I'm guessing you're from the cultural sector. What's your name?
That's correct. My name's Tom Hayam.
So tonight, there's been a lot of conversations in the room. There was the horn at one point, and when that was squeezed, people had to move on and talk to other people. There's been what appears to be collaboration, a lot of really interesting projects talked about. I kept walking through and hearing stuff. What kind of conversations have you been involved in tonight?
I've been talking mainly with people from the cultural sector about projects they're doing with data and data visualization and things like that. I haven't talked to a lot of data nerds, so I might pass over to the man with that written on his t-shirt.
How many conversations have you had with artistic types, and how much of this world do they get?
Well, I think everybody in the world's an artistic type if they find the right way to look at it.
Yeah.
The one thing that's really come across tonight is there's a lot of people who are very interested in it, but they exist within very monolithic organisations that can't process data quick enough. And part of the barrier in a lot of the conversations that I've had have been around how to try and work through those barriers internally up to a point where data can become available a lot quicker than it's generated, effectively, rather than waiting 2 or 3 years down the line.
So are these technical answers, these solutions, somewhat a thing of mythology because they don't necessarily have easy access to these things? I'll ask you.
I mean, for me, I think that you have to come back to the reason why you might want to access and use your data. So for a lot of the arts organisations that I work with and know of in the room, they do potentially have very interesting data and potentially very interesting from an artistic perspective, but it's not necessarily a sort of commercializable or kind of financial return that they could get on it. But there's certainly a lot of creative outputs that can be taken from the data that these organizations collect and have, and specifically projects that start very much from a data perspective. So for example, I'm working with some PhD students at the Culture Lab at Newcastle University who are looking specifically at data as an artistic kind of medium and resource. And so I think it's maybe a misconception to look at the data an organisation has and go, we can make money somehow out of this data. There's not a magic wand that says that suddenly if you collect data you can cash in on it. Like that's not the way to start, because you're not really going to get anything interesting from that. But you have to... It has to start with the idea, not just the fact that you want to somehow mine a load of data and do something with it, because there's no idea there at that point, but yeah.
So data isn't so much a golden goose. There's similar conversations still happening around social media, but how's social media going to make money for me? And I say, well, it's like saying, how is my telephone going to make money for me? In some ways, that is just a means of communicating to the outside world. How does technology fit into this equation?
Well, technology and phones, they're only tools to do a job. And I think what's interesting about the mix of people that are in the room tonight is the fact that you have technologists and you have cultural organisations. Now, cultural organisations would have previously commissioned bits of work which may well push technology that a little bit further. And if you look at the wider range of technologies, and if you go back to the earlier Culture Code sessions and the videos that are online, you'll see Ger Thorpe talking about the guys, I think they were at MIT, that were developing Google Maps back in the 1970s. And that was an art project that really was ahead of its time. And so a lot of the experience that people in this room have is about the work that they commission can then be interpreted differently and made commercial further on down the line. the change now is that actually there's a lot of stuff that can be done with what these organisations have, be it footfall data, web statistics, whether it's heritage information. That is the information that we're trying to kind of push out of people now. And from our side of the table, trying to pull out of people, it's not always easy to pull those things out because those organisations are all about commissioning something to be done. And as Tom put out before, unless it's a golden egg, if you put out a bit of work that attracts a certain amount of footfall, you've laid your golden egg. This isn't going to lay a golden egg. It's not going to necessarily drive a lot of footfall. But for an organisation, it's a big, big step to take. And it's a very healthy approach to interpreting what you have within your building, your organisation, your council, your region, your county, and trying to use that as a platform to build something that someone can see that data in a different way.
And this is an age of revolution of so many different things, of mindsets, of business models, and surely this is in many ways how we explore these possibilities.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting there's a guy in this region called Dominic Smith, who's heading up the digital media program at the Tyneside Cinema, who's kind of an expert in this field, in basically the core reasons and motivations behind the open source movement. And there's a really interesting aspect of that movement that suggests that actually giving away your data and opening it out and making it free and accessible and usable for people may not make money for you, but in doing that on that day, but in the future, you know, you can commercialize things by making them free. So, for example, I'm working on a project with a couple of artists, a guy called Mehmet Akten and a guy called Tom Schofield, and we're working using the Xbox Kinect, hacking it, working with young people to create performance and interactive tools for installation. So all the work that's going into that project will be made open source, and the first element of it is being packaged up at the moment, and we won't make money off that now, but further down the line, packaging up all of the results of this project and putting them into a usable and kind of digestible format for use in schools, that's a commercializable result of using open source data. So I think it's kind of an appreciation of a slightly more long-term view to kind of like let stuff out to let stuff come back in, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
And I'm sure the cultural sector sees more than anybody else how many different types of value there are, not just the sacks of cash that people in hard times tend to look for. If you could say a tweet of information, a short burst of the value that you've got out of tonight in general, what would that be? Just to put you on the spot.
That's a fairly big question.
This is a pause for thought here. Somebody in the background is pointing pointing to the wine.
One tweet about tonight. I'd say that are a lot more cultural organisations than technologists in the room potentially, but I would say that open up your data to cultural organisations. Open up your data if you think you want to do it for a creative output, not for a commercial output. This isn't a way to a fast buck necessarily. There may be money to be made in it, but that can't be the reason why you do it, because you won't get to anything interesting through doing that.
Your version of Twitter is obviously a lot longer than mine, but
that's quite a lot more than 140 characters.
No, you made some very, really good points, and just the fact of opening up an API, it doesn't matter if anybody's in this room. Can you imagine what might be done with that? And then, because it's there, the port is there for people to plug into it.
It's probably more 140 words than 140 characters.
You can do 140 words as well if you want.
R.I.P. Justin Bieber.
Well, maybe the tag will get a few more listens. Thank you very much, guys, and good luck with your projects, especially if it's something to do with destroying Bieber.